Hey, everybody. Welcome to the next episode of the Strand Tennis Center podcast, filled with tips, advice, tennis, not tennis, just life advice, too, whatever you need. Like it on YouTube. Share it on the podcast as well. Thank you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Strand Tennis Center podcast. This is Steve Capo. I'm your host. We are continuing our mental toughness series, and we are lucky to have, you know, to me, one of the epitomes of mental toughness. Sergey Brilin is here. Luckily, we have had him. He's a three-time Stanley Cup winner, coach of the Devils, and we've luckily been lucky to have him here just with his children playing tennis. Got to know him. And we brought you here, Sergey, we talked about a little bit, to discuss first mental toughness. We'll go through that, then we'll do a couple other things. But the biggest question I was asking you before in the lobby is, this is the hard part, like, coach a lot of kids. You've coached a ton. You have your kids playing tennis. Your son playing hockey obviously was. How much of this is nature or nurture? So we're talking about mental toughness. We find that some people just have an innate ability to be calm under pressure, to be cool in situations, and not that they don't get nervous, and we've discussed this many times on the podcast. They just choke less. They handle it better. Now, two questions. One, do you think you can train someone early to be that type of level? Or do they have an innate ability to do it? And number two, how quickly do you see whether someone has got this or not? So that's kind of like a two-pronged question.
Well, obviously, in my sport, we see it on the bench between shifts when the players come back from the ice, and wherever happens on the ice, you see their reaction, and especially at the pro level, obviously when pressure comes in, and obviously, like you said, some of the guys handle different situations better than the other, and I agree with you. Some of them have it, and some of them probably need to work on
it. Yeah. Now,
and they need help, and that's why. We have people that work for the team, and they help guys on pretty consistent basis. Some of those guys go to those specialists pretty much every day, maybe every other day.
Are they like mindfulness coaches or something, or what do they do? I'm curious.
I mean, they just first of all, like we talked about before, we have to establish that trust factor and that relationship, and if the player trusts you. He can basically open up and say, hey, I feel nervous, or I feel this, I feel that. Or maybe some people need to concentrate more, or they can't stay in the game long enough in order to do certain things, or, stay in with the systems and the program and play the right way and play the way we want them to play. So those kind of things, and especially, another thing is in our sports, the goalies are a totally different animal. Those guys have a ton of pressure on their shoulders. If they make a save, they're the hero. If they don't, everybody blames the goalie. So there's a lot of pressure in hockey, and those guys have their own people probably because that's where the game went. Now pretty much every player in hockey has his people that he works on in the summer, or not people that are not involved with the team, because like I said to you before, sometimes that trust is not there because if you work for the team, you don't want to open up too much. Everybody thinks about their contracts, about their future, how is it going to affect it, things like that.
So that leads me to another question. Now, when you were playing, was this ever heard of? Like, were guys in the 90s going to coaches on the side for mental acuity or any of that stuff?
Obviously not as much. But we had a person that worked with our team. And it actually helped me out, too, a little bit, because I had a tough time sleeping after games.
Okay.
So he was just, trying to help me out with that kind of recovery part, just trying to make me relax, give me like breathing exercises, stuff like that. So that can be used in between, in tennis, in between the points.
Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
Hockey on the bench when you're recovering after, you know, a long shift, or, you know, you're just trying to get back to normal after being scored on or something, you know, stuff like that.
So to get a little bit more specific, if you're having, like, anything, I would have trouble sleeping mostly after a loss because I was bothered by what I did wrong or whatever. Your adrenaline was so pumped you couldn't sleep, or was it because you were like, listen, I should have did this, this, and this, and you were torturing yourself?
I think mine was just, I was just adrenaline, you know, and I just, for some reason, I just had tough time falling asleep after games.
Okay. So we'll go back to it. Do you think a certain hockey player, a certain tennis player, football player, how they grow up is just going to make them tougher? We talked about Barry Bonds. I always talked about that his father was a baseball player. He grew up in stadiums. It was very comfortable for him. He was never nervous because he basically, as a 9-year-old, was in a stadium with 30,000 people just watching his father. How much of an advantage does a player like that have? Or is there pressure the other way because your father's, you know, kind of in that realm of star? I mean, is there an advantage there?
I think so, a little bit, but I don't know. Like I said, everybody's different, right? So, and again, hockey a little bit different because you have a team, right?
Yeah.
And you obviously have players that your star players that's supposed to make the difference in the game, and they have different kind of pressure. Like I said, the goalie's got different kind of pressure. Maybe the guys that, you know, don't play as many minutes or don't play as big of a role don't have as much pressure on their shoulders. But again, if you don't play as much and you go out there and do something wrong, and, you know,
it's even worse.
Know, you might not even see another shift in the game. That's not different kind of pressure.
Well,
so, yeah, you know, we all have a little bit of pressure. And like you said, I think there's a little bit of advantage if you have a, you know, mentor, your parent, or somebody who played and, you know, went through it. And but again, it's being part of the, you know, parent or coach and dealing with those kind of things and understanding, you know, the, you know, those kind of pressure points that the players go through is the key. And I'm as guilty as, you know, anybody else. My older daughter, you know, when she played tennis, I didn't probably realize, you know, how different that game is compared to hockey, because, you know, just like I said, there's 20 of us on the team, and she, you know, she's by herself on the court, and
yeah,
it's all up to her to make it or not to make it. So, you know, I think definitely the work with, you know, somebody can help. But my personal experience, I got helped. You know, I got some help for my daughter, and she didn't like it. Like I said to you before, the relationship's got to be established, and she wasn't able to do that. So she went to, you know, a couple of sessions, and she told me she didn't want to do it anymore. So,
well, she seemed, you know, we've had lucky enough to watch her, and she's been a talented player, Wake Forest National Championship and all those things. She always seemed very calm to me and seemed to be able to handle situations, and you didn't really know whether she was winning or losing. You'd watch matches, and all of a sudden she'd win 3-3, and I was like, what just happened, right? Like, is that just her personality is what I'm saying?
I think it's personality, and trust me, I knew when she was winning or she was losing.
I knew. Yeah. Well, you're the father. I'm sure you did more than I did.
And sometimes I felt like she kept those emotions inside a little too much. You know, I wanted to see sometimes a little more, you know, fire on the court.
Okay.
And but that's her personality. She was nice and quiet, and, you know, but I think it could be good. It can be, you know, if you want to make next step, I think you got to have that fire, that energy, that killer instinct, you know, in order to make that next step.
Now, how many players have you seen? Like you said, some of them struggle. They need to talk to people. How many players have you seen that are like, okay, this person is having some problems? And can you see, I'm kind of like a firm believer, I know there's neuroplasticity and your brain can change, but can that person really become this killer and become a person that is naturally already at a certain level of focus and killer instinct. Have you seen a 180 degree change in somebody?
Actually, yes. But again, it was just, maybe one or two guys that I experienced that with. We had a kid from Slovakia playing for us. I'm not going to, name anybody. But he was a talented player, but we saw there was another level of aggressiveness and, a physical play in him, because he was such a good, smooth skater. He used to just outskate people, but was kind of shy about, getting involved physically. And little by little, we talked to him. We were trying to force him to do things that, a lot of those kids growing up, they're not comfortable stepping outside of the comfort zone.
Yeah.
Learning something new or doing something different or pushing yourself to the next level is not comfortable for a lot of those young players. And, we finally got him to do what, we were looking for him to do. And he liked it because it worked, and he probably never done it before. And when he saw the results, he was so excited, and he loved it. And he made the next step. I had him on the minors, and he went up and played in NHL. Did pretty well. Unfortunately, we end up losing that player. But that was probably one of the guys I can think of, right away.
I'm sure that builds trust too. Like you said, if you tell somebody to go out of their comfort zone and it's successful, it builds trust between the coach, and you can really lead them even more. I mean, I'm sure that's a huge key. What are some of the specific things to get someone out of their comfort zone? Like what tactics? Like what would you say to this particular person? Like the breathing techniques you did as well. How do you get them out of their comfort zone? What do you do?
Well, we coach a team, but we work with every individual player, and we try to make them better.
Okay.
Right? If we make them better individually, our team's going to be better. That's our approach, right? So this is how we sell it, right? We say, hey, listen, once you get to the NHL, all the players are good players.
Yeah.
I mean, they're there for a reason, but again, there's always room for improvement, and this is what we sell. And we say, hey, listen, in order for you to, to improve, score more goals, get more ice time, play in different situations, help the team, this is what we need to do. We've got to work on this, and that. And this is how we sell it.
So it's kind of,
And
obviously,
at the end of the results, in new contracts, right?
There's a success, right? Yes. You they'll get out of their comfort zone if they want to stay in the NHL, right?
Absolutely.
I get it. So speaking of, nature, nurture, do you think how you were raised, when you were a kid in Russia, do you think did it lead you to be more tough, being able to be successful, or was it in you more, you think?
I am definitely growing up in Russia and, being exposed to those different situations and the way we were raised by our parents, the way we were coached, growing up is a lot different than, things are nowadays.
How was the coaching different? you can kill me a little bit. I mean, come on.
I got lucky. My father played a little bit, so he was obviously, probably the biggest critic and the coach. And the coach growing up, I had the same coach for many, many years. The system in Russia is a little bit different for hockey players. I lived just outside of Moscow, so I was right from age six, I was exposed to a professional coach, not like someone's dad's coaching like here. And it was one of the, top hockey schools in the country back then. And he was pushing us too hard, physically, mentally. His approach was kind of, if your destiny is to make it, you're going to make it.
Okay.
But again, things that we did back then and, the way kids playing hockey and training and doing things is totally different.
Well, I would assume you'd have to be a lot more sensitive these days, even on my level. And
yes.
You know, it wasn't hockey, it was a tennis sport, but our coaches were a lot harder.
Oh, absolutely.
30 years ago, they had no sensitivity. It wasn't
Now
everyone's got a phone and a camera, and if you say something that is just being hard on a child, it's like you're being abusive.
Yes, absolutely, I agree.
So, but this is where we battle with this. I want to make this kid successful. Like, I know you have to paint everybody a different brush. Some kids need something different, but ultimately we've got to be rowing in the right direction. If you don't want to be successful, you're really wasting everyone's time. So, and this is the battle you get with parents and kids, and I want my kid to do this, and the kid doesn't want to do it or whatever. And even on the highest level, we have, you know, kids that are great national players, but they hate it or they don't want to do it. And then they get sensitive. I mean, you were, but that's what I was saying, like, because Djokovic grew up in Serbia in a war-torn country. He seems so much tougher in that vein. Is it because you grew up in Russia during that time? Do you think it just made you stronger just by the environment itself, not even the coach?
I think so. There's obviously something to it, but like you said, you know, it's got to be a combination of both, right?
Yeah.
It's got to be a combination of both. We were obviously exposed to you know, tough competition, you know, growing up, and the life was a lot tougher, let's put it this way, you know. And I don't blame the kids now, because obviously that's the life, and that's the options that they have nowadays, that those are the options we never had. We grew up on the streets, you know, you know, playing playgrounds till it gets dark every day, so it was totally different.
Yeah, every kid's got a trainer, and yeah, they all have a physio and things like that. I remember when I was talking to Bill Rafter, he was he's the NCAA, very successful college coach, played basketball. He goes, when I warmed up, I did like a toe touch. You went out there and played. You played some ball like it wasn't there.
Never got hurt.
He never got hurt. Yeah, he never got hurt either. You just go out there. Now all these physios and stretches and things like that. So personalities, you have to deal with different personalities. Let's do on both levels. Like with each one of your kids, do you feel the distinct difference in personality and go, okay, this is what I can do? Because your daughter Maria is very good, very young player. Do you feel like you have to say, okay, Maria needs this? And do you sense the difference in personalities?
Yes, absolutely. I have three kids, two girls and a boy, and they're all different, And again, this is a challenge as a parent, as a coach, to find a way to get to them, right? To get your message across and make them believe, make them do it, make them work at things that, you know, you see. And this is the most challenging thing in coaching, I think.
How do you handle that, being you're a professional athlete? Do you tell your kids, listen, take this as far as you want? I mean, that's the balance, right? Do the kids feel like, this is really possible because there's someone in the family that played professional. It seems a lot more doable. Or does it seem a lot more doable, or does it seem the opposite for them? What do you think?
I think it should be encouraging for them. If you're, you know, older sister or brother, you know, done well, and you choose to go the same path, I think it should give you more confidence in. You know, what you're doing is going to work and it's going to take you where you want to go. And again, for me, it was, you know, was a professional, ex-professional athlete, and athlete that had pretty long, successful career. You know, it was kind of tough to adjust my expectations for my kids at times. But,
yeah.
You know, you have to understand that we talked about, everybody's different, and everybody's got a different set of tools, right? So
we always talk about goal setting. Like, when you were younger, did it just kind of happen? You had this ability, or did you have it when you were 6 or 7 and said, hey, this is what I want to do? Or you just became very good and everybody said, all right, you're on this team. Like, we had a player that was 110 in the world last year. She came and practiced a little bit. And I just asked her. She's from Georgia, the country. And she was just like, all of a sudden, I qualified for this. I qualified for that, and all they said, you got to go to Spain. I was like, I didn't even have these distinct, straight goals that I want to be a professional. Did it just kind of happen? You were talented and said you went to this team or that team?
I asked my mom about that, actually, and she said, I said, did you ever thought that I would be a professional hockey player? And they're like, no. No. And I think it started to happen to me maybe around when I was 12, 13, maybe 14 years old. And you kind of start to separate yourself from the other players. And again, after, you know, many, many years of this, I had a conversation with my agent, and he said something to me. At first, I'm like, there's no way. He goes, like, you know, you got lucky. I said, really? He goes, yeah, you got lucky because, you know, you see so many kids that play tennis or play hockey, and, you know, there's only a few of them will make it. And, you know, the people we see on TV every day, those really special athletes, and it's, I mean, again, nowadays, every parent sees the contract, sees the, you know, the lifestyle of the professional athletes, and they want the same for their child, and it's okay, but they, you know, we have to understand that there's only so many spots, and the competition is so hard nowadays. Probably it was, you know, it's a lot harder than it used to be, I believe, because the resources that, you know, the kids have nowadays. And
well, there's just more countries that have the ability to support. You know,
yes.
30 years ago, it was the United States, it was Russia, it was a couple other countries that could do it. Now, you could be successful from coming from Uruguay because the money has been spread out enough.
Yeah.
So I always say, if you want a 1% life, you have to do 1% work. And a lot of people have all these dreams, but they don't want to do the 1% work. I mean, it is, and the stat is 1% of even high school players play college. That's only 1% of all the high school players. I mean, it is brutally hard, and I don't think people realize what they're getting into when they come up and they say, I want my kid to, you know, I want my kid even to play Division I tennis or anything. That is just a real impossibility for a lot of kids, and then it leads to that animosity. And I'm sure you've heard of the book Open by Agassi, who really never liked his father, but there's plenty of kids that don't like their father that didn't make anything. And luckily, he became successful and at least had some sort of fruits of his labor. Mm-hmm. I mean, you'd rather... That's why having the self-awareness to understand whether your kid even has it or not. Like, and to be, all right, okay, listen, I can't probably push this kid. They just don't have the ability. So to wrap up the mental toughness part, anything that you've come across, you know, that would be able to help tactically for someone. I mean, there's a list of these. I always talk about mindfulness and keep a journal and all those things. Is there anything that you've come across that has helped people? You know, you, like you said, get out of their comfort zone. If a kid wants to be mentally tougher, what do you think they should do?
I think if you want to be mentally tough, you have to have confidence on the court. But the confidence comes from practice. Right? Start with practice. You know, if you master, you know, the stuff that you need to work on in practice, you go out there, all you have to think is just, you know, executing the plan, basically. And if it works, it's great. If it doesn't, then that basically means that you lost to a better player, and that's okay. Right? So that this is how I look at it. Again, if you, in order for you to stay confident and trust your game, you got to start a practice. That's how I look at this. And again, like we talked about, how much do you really want it, right? They all say they want to win, but nobody wants to do the little things, right?
Yep.
To get better. And again, it's not a sprint, right? It's a marathon. It takes a long time. So you just have to trust the process, work on your game, do extra. If you really love the game, I mean, that shouldn't be that hard. If you don't like the game, that's where it starts. You got to love the game.
That's why I love talking to you, because there's no mystery, right? Everybody says, well, what's the best way? There's no fast way. You just work. You just do the work. And that's why they said Michael Jordan... He loved to practice. He just wanted, they wouldn't play games. He probably wanted to practice, practice, practice. And this was the best, you know, arguably the most talented basketball player in the world. And he wanted to practice and practice and practice. You just have to do the work. Mm-hmm. Speaking of, go ahead.
And another thing I want to say, I actually was thinking lately about my career a lot. And still, like, I played 20 years professionally in Russia and in North American NHL. And now I look back and I'm like, I should have done that and this and maybe concentrated more on that. Because, but again, like, I mean, once you get older, you understand. Now you look at those things and you know that was probably a mistake, or I did too much of that instead of doing this. And, you know, and again, there's no formula for success. You know, you have to try and see, and, you know, but you got to stay on that path of, you know, getting better and, you know, developing a game and working on little things and loving it.
Can you give me one that's not too personal of a mistake? You said, well, maybe I shouldn't have did this.
I think I kind of, once I got my, you know, role and on the team, and I kind of maybe stopped thinking about, you know, getting better at some other things that I needed to work on, okay. Basically. You know, I kind of got, okay, this is who I am as a player, and that's fine, because guess what? In a team environment, you need different kind of players, right? It's not like tennis, right? In tennis, sure. You got, even in tennis, you either,
you're a serving volleyer or
exactly. Yeah. Or you smashing the ball from the baseline, and you got a big serve. You got to have weapons, right? And you got to use them. Same thing in hockey. Like, I mean, we all do little things. Like I said, you know, there are star players that make a difference in the games. The guys that kill penalties, play on the power play, you know, play last or, you know, last minute when you up a goal, or last minute you win faceoffs. There's so many different things. And, again, still, like, it's fine to have a role, but you can always get better and work at different things.
Yeah, that's what we've always said about tennis. You can have specifics, but you're out there by yourself. And you can't be, like, the best rebounder on the team, and that's a good role. You can't just serve and not return. Yeah. That's the hard part. I get it. Yeah. You can have some specifics that you're great at, but it is difficult. So just to get on the coaching side, and we'll let you go. Same thing. Do you feel like you always need to improve coaching? You're always learning. You're always trying to grow. You always feel like I want to be a better coach. And how do you do that? Are you just studying film all the time? Are you reading? I'm just curious how you're improving as a coach.
Oh, absolutely. Again, it's the same as being a player. If you're not getting better, you're getting worse. And we got hundreds of other coaches that are, you know, looking at the same film, you know, and they're thinking of how are we going to beat New Jersey Devils next time we play them. So, you know, and it's just – As a team, or, you know, the same thing as individually too. We have players that we're responsible for, and we, you know, our job is to get them better, like I said, and finding new ways to work on different stuff. Or
give me a quick schedule, like during the season. I always love coaches' schedules. How long is the day? Is it insane, or is it a decent schedule?
What's insane?
I know that's insane. It's all relative. You're like, 15 hours is not insane. It's fine. Like,
well, again, we have two different kind of, I mean, actually three. Training camp, right? Game days and practice days, right? So those are three kind of different days. And travel days also. So those are kind of long days. You have to practice and you have to travel.
Are you in before, though? Practice?
Like training camp, obviously, you know, we have a lot of players to start training camp. Usually, like, I would say probably. When I played, it was a lot more. It was like 60 players to start. Now it's more maybe like 45. There's a lot of young kids, you know, junior players coming. So you pretty much have three different groups. Well, those days alone, you know, we all start at 7. You know, you get your first meetings probably at 8, 8:30, and, you know, you have three different sessions on the ice. So by the time you finish, it's probably like, I don't know, 1:30, maybe 2 o'clock. And after that, you pretty much, you know, you work on practice for the next day. You know, you sit down with other coaches and you think of, you know, what we want to work on tomorrow. And the game days are, usually the same thing, you know, you have a meeting in the morning, you have a morning skate. Some teams, or sometimes you don't skate as a team, you just, you know, have an option because we trust our players, you know, they mature enough to know if they need to skate, if they don't need to skate. Then you come back, you know, I usually go home because I don't want to stay at the rink all day. And, you know, sure. I usually go home after lunch. You come back around 4 o'clock for a 7 o'clock game.
You know, I'm sure you work out.
No, yeah, in between. Yeah, in between, sure. We have another meeting, a special teams meeting. And then, you know, there's a game at 7 o'clock. Mm. Usually you're done by 9:30, 9:45, if it doesn't go in overtime. And you sit down, you talk about the game with the other coaches. Sometimes you don't because it depends how the game went, right?
Yeah, okay.
So then you go home. And, you know, unless we have another game tomorrow, if it's a back-to-back with travel, then we leave right after the game. We could jump on a plane, go somewhere. And the practice days are usually the same thing. You start at 7, you know, you watch the film from the previous game. You put your clips together, you know, you putting them together for like a 5-minute, you know, video session. Usually 5-minute video will be maybe like 7 or 10 minute, you know, meeting. You know, we practice. And then
So, but two questions I thought about in that. During training camp, this is where ability sets in and like mental toughness and edges and things like that. When you look at all these people in training camp, what's the difference between someone, are they all purely physically great? What's the real difference between someone making the NHL roster and someone just, you know, just getting cut on the last, you know, just getting cut? Like, where is that line, you think? Is it physical?
It's a combination of things. Okay. Obviously, you know, before training camp starts, you only have a few spots that you can actually...
Everything
you know,
else signed for and things like that.
Yeah, pretty much everything. Unless there's something major happens during camp, and usually it's still like maybe one or two players, you know, either don't perform well or, you know, they get injured or something and those spots open up, stuff like that. So, and again, there's a few guys that actually have a chance to make a roster, and based on a lot of different things, based on what you see, how they play, their experience, their previous experience with the coach. It's all about trusting the player, right? So, and usually, you know, there's always one or two surprises. You know, guys come in and they play well, they practice hard, and you know they usually get a chance.
Okay, I was just curious about that. I don't think I have anything else, Sergey. It was so great. It was so great to have you here. I really appreciate it. I mean, because it's been great to have your family. It's great to have your kids. Trust me, the kids are excellent players, and you can just Google them anyways, because your daughter has been super fantastic. Your oldest, obviously, and your youngest, like you said, I think she is even tougher. Like you talked about, like she's got that, to me, that killer instinct. I don't know. I mean, can go on that.
She's got that. We're just starting to concentrate in tennis a little more. She played soccer the last 2 years. So, you know, she's just, you know, starting to get into it and getting feel for tennis. And hopefully she'll, you know, she'll enjoy the, you know, the journey. And, you know, we'll see how far.
Do you find herself leaning to that now? Does she like that more now? Or do you think like...
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. Well, Sergey, it was great to see you.
Thank you.
It was awesome.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, guys. Stay happy, Santi, and healthy. I'll see you.
Hey, everybody. Hope you like the podcast. Please share it with your friends, anybody that you know, anybody that's into tennis, anybody that's into bettering themselves. Share it.